Tukey Williams' case has renewed debate over prejudice in our justice system. African Americans make up 12% of the U.S. population, but account for more than 40% of death row inmates. The race of murder victims is also an issue. Juries are far more likely to hand down a death sentence in cases involving white victims. For more on the color of capital punishment, we're joined at our Washington, D.C. headquarters by Paul Butler, former federal prosecutor and professor of law at George Washington University. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
It's great to be here, Farai.
Well, let me talk to you first of all about prosecutors. I think that something like 98% of DAs, district attorneys, are white. Does that have an influence on these issues? And tell us more about what you did as a federal prosecutor.
Well, I never prosecuted anybody for death penalty cases, in part because I'm against the death penalty, but in part because I was a prosecutor of white-collar criminals. And the reality, Farai, is that virtually everybody on death row is a poor person. They're charged with crimes where often they have ineffective lawyers, and the reason that they get the death penalty isn't so much based on the crime they committed, but based on factors that really shouldn't be relevant, like the quality of their lawyer, and like whether the person they kill was white or black. If you kill a white person, you're much more likely to get the death penalty than if you kill a black person. And if you're an African-American who kills a white person, that's the most common category of people who get the death penalty.
But in fact, there was a Supreme Court case, McCleskey versus Kemp, in 1987 that basically said, well, hey, there's discrepancies, but we can't do anything about it. So what influence has that had on this whole debate over the color of punishment?
Well, a lot of people think that that's a worse case than the Plessy versus Ferguson case, because in Plessy versus Ferguson, the court at least required equality. The court said separate but equal is the law of the land. And, of course, that was overturned. In the McCleskey case, the court said there is a risk that some people are being sentenced to death on the basis of race. But it's not an unconstitutionally acceptable risk. That is, it's a constitutionally acceptable risk, because the court says prosecutors need this discretion. And there's always a risk that when white people exercise discretion, they're going to use race to make decisions about who gets the death penalty, prosecutors about whether they should seek it, and judges and juries about whether they should impose it.
According to some studies, race is just about the most important factor, except for torture. If victims were tortured, that's extremely likely to help juries decide for the death penalty. But next to that, it's race. It's not necessarily how many people were killed or the manner in which they were killed. So race definitely influences juries. And in 1998, Kentucky was the first state that has the death penalty to pass something called the Racial Justice Act. Now, what is that act and why hasn't it gone to more states?
Well, what these acts do is allow statistics about how race matters with who gets the death penalty to be used as a reason for juries not to impose death in particular cases. But what we see, Farai, is that there are some cases in which virtually everybody gets the death penalty, some cases in which nobody gets the death penalty. So a classic case where everybody gets it is a mass murderer. Classic case in which virtually nobody gets it is a man who kills his wife. Now, that shows you how arbitrary the penalty is, but usually those men don't get it. There's this middle range of cases, and an example there is someone who kills during an armed robbery, where race matters. If you're a black person who kills a white person in that kind of crime, you're most likely to get the death penalty. And actually, in the McCleskey case, the court said it's really an issue for legislatures, not judges, to decide. And so what racial justice acts do is allow juries to consider discrimination and racism in making the decision about whether to impose the death penalty.
In the case of Tukey Williams, he was someone who was convicted for killing white and Asian victims, not black victims. Do you believe, given what we've just talked about, that this is making a difference in his case?
Again, statistically, the evidence suggests that it is. And here's the thing, Farai. Regardless of whether Mr. Williams is guilty or not, he disputes his guilt. The question is whether there's a role for mercy and forgiveness in our justice system. And people are still punished harshly even when their sentences are commuted. It's just that the ultimate sanction, execution, isn't imposed. So we look at somebody like Mr. Williams, who's been on death row for decades, he's reformed his life. He's rehabilitated. And so the issue is whether, based on the worst day of his life, he should be condemned, or whether, again, not that he shouldn't be punished, but just whether he should be allowed to live.
Well, when you look at Governor Schwarzenegger's position on this, you've got a situation where you have a governor that's been bruised, absolutely politically bruised, by a special election that he himself called for. Some people are saying that that means clemency would be a good move for him. But even though support for the death penalty in America has ebbed, it's still well over 50%. So once the courts have exhausted all of the appeals, or prisoners have exhausted all their appeals with the courts, it's up to politicians in office, like governors, to make these decisions. Is that a good method? I mean, it's simply the way it is, but from a legal point of view, is it smart for governors ultimately to have that discretion?
Well, there is still a role for mercy and redemption in our justice system. So to the extent that the governor and the president has the last word, then yes, that role is appropriate. The problem, for Rye, as you suggest, is when it gets political. One of the last governors to commute sentences in California, actually the last one, was Ronald Reagan. Before that, again, politics has always impacted the process. There was a case in which a governor believed that another prisoner's sentence should be commuted, but he also had to get a minimum wage bill passed. And so he made a deal with the Republicans. Okay, we'll execute this guy if you all agree to vote for the minimum wage bill. So that shows you how, when politics infects the system of who gets to live and who gets to die, it's just fundamentally unfair. Some would say barbaric.
Very briefly, we're almost out of time. As you mentioned, Tukey Williams says he's innocent. In many cases, people who express remorse and admit that they've killed people are more likely to get clemency. Is that going to be a factor here?
Well, it certainly will be a factor, but the point is that Mr. Williams has really lived a remarkable life. He's impacted thousands, if not millions, of children and teenagers who say that they won't live a life of crime based on Mr. Williams' example. So hopefully the governor will consider the whole picture, and again, not just what Mr. Williams is accused of doing on the worst day of his life.
We've been speaking with, at our Washington, D.C. headquarters, Paul Butler. He's a former federal prosecutor and professor of law at George Washington University. Thank you so much, Paul.
You're very welcome.